Blog Talk Radio.
Archer, can I talk to you? Can I talk at you? Can I talk with you for just a moment, please, sir? Can I preach what I've got on my mind? Can I share with you what's in my heart?
Yes, sir.
Can we just for a moment, for an ill minute, talk about dick pics? Can we please have this discussion right now on the Metal Hammer of Doom? Before we review the Cavalera conspiracy psychosis, I need to unburden my soul with my thoughts on dick pics. First of all, I'm against them. Second of all, have we fallen so hard as a society that we went as men, Jesse Starcher, we as men who love our women, and in some cases our men, I'm not judging. We used to, if you follow me, lay our coats down across puddles so that
chivalry.
Women could, yes, so that women could walk across the puddle and not defile their fair shoes. How did we go from laying coats across puddles, being chivalrous, as you said, to just shortly after introducing yourself to a woman, sending her a pic of your penis?
Mm.
What happened? How did the I mean, am I wrong in thinking society has gone to hell and this is emblematic of it? Or have I missed the cultural point somewhere, Jesse Starcher? Or am I right on the money in saying we have descended into animals, and the dick pic is the cold, wet nose of our animal nature?
Well, sir, I can't agree more. I have never been tempted to pull out my wiener and snap a picture in order to send it to my wife, which I would hope that that is the only place you should be sending any dick pics.
I'm not sending dick pics.
I know you're not, but I'm just saying to our audience members out there, ladies and gentlemen, I hope that you have a significant other that you're sending these to that, you know, is willing to appreciate it. Although most likely they've seen it quite a few times. Why you've got to take a picture of it and send it to them, I don't know.
I work with women. I work with women. They are nurses. Many of them are single. Many of them have had husbands, but their relationships did not work out, unfortunately. A lot of divorced women, a lot of women who were engaged, and those engagements did not work out. These women date Jesse Starcher, and apparently, in the process of dating, they will meet other single men And those men will take it upon themselves to send these women unsolicited dick pics. This isn't an agreed upon exchange of goods and services, okay? Are you picking up what I'm putting down here?
This is just like out of the blue.
This is, hi, I'm Bob. Here's my cock. That's it. That's what's happening. I have not left anything out. This isn't the George Lucas school of storytelling where you start in the fucking middle somewhere and then go back to the beginning. No, this is the sum total of their love affair. Hi, I'm so-and-so. Pleased to meet you. Penis.
Oh. Things have changed. I mean,
they certainly have.
Just because the technology is there to do this does not mean you have to do this. Okay?
No!
Just because you have a camera and a phone and the means to send it across the digital airwaves does not mean that you have to expose yourself. This is tantamount to flashing. I mean, your ass would get arrested if you did this in public. I don't understand.
I walk up to a girl at the Publix, which is, I don't know what your local grocery store is.
At the grocery store. I got you.
Okay. I go into the Publix, and I'm strolling down the vegetable aisle, and I come across a pretty lady, and I say, hello, I'm Mark, and drop my drawers. You like it? I would be subsequently arrested and thrown in the dock.
Exactly.
And I won't come out.
I don't know, man. Okay. You've obviously ran into this situation sometime today.
This rant has been a long time coming.
Oh, okay.
No pun intended. What I'm trying to tell you is, a couple of weeks ago, there were two lovely ladies who I work with, and they were exchanging war stories around my desk about the various dick pics they've been sent. Let me tell you, fellas, if you are currently listening to the Metal Hammer of Doom and probably asking yourself, are they ever going to actually review the album? Yeah, we are. Partially stalling for time. Partially, I needed to unburden myself of this information. I needed to address the public. This is important. I promise you in the next minute or so, we will actually get to the topic at hand. But God damn it, dick pics. I don't like them. We need to stop. But, and that's my point with all of this, is I don't know what the state of thinking among men is out there. I can't seem to get a handle on the measure of the common thinking among men that they think collectively it's a grand idea to send pictures of your genitalia to women who didn't ask for it. And what they thought this would get them, it's as if to say, is here is a woman, I want her to jump on my penis, so I'm going to show it to her, and she's going to go, my, what a massive rocket in your pocket, let me get on that shit. That's the logic, I'm assuming. Is that not the logic, Melissa?
Does she agree?
What? You've been sent unsolicited dick pics? Was it not the logic of the man to send this thing to you and for you to become enraptured with its size and girth? Okay, that's what I'm trying to say. I'm yelling at the top of my lungs. How do you not hear me? Typical woman. Anyway, she's not listening. She don't care. It's been years since someone sent her a dick pic. I certainly wouldn't. My goodness.
Oh, I mean, there is a degree also of the, I mean, I don't know. I think too much about this. Like, if I was on the receiving end of something like that, there would be a degree of like, okay, yeah, right. You know, how do I know this is you, sir? Because anybody can go on the old internet and screenshot
you're
a wiener.
Eh? You're like, that's not your penis. I don't believe in such fantasy.
Yeah. Oh, you can't. No way. That doesn't. And then, you know, guys, I guarantee you there are dudes out there like it's mine and they figure out some way to rig a mirror. So their face is kind of flashing back right behind their rock hard cack. So they we know for a fact that this is who they are. But I'm thinking too much about this now. I don't ever want. Dude.
So let me tell you something. Let me tell you something, Jesse Sarcher. You're the disapproving dad, and you've got a tween daughter. And here comes the nightmare scenario. Wait till she gets her first unsolicited. And I'm not trying
to
be jerky.
Even. I know. No, trust me. It's not like the shit doesn't go through my head every single day. Like, when I was a kid, when I was a boy, what was I thinking at that age? Okay?
Sure.
Now we got this shit to deal with. We got
right.
Dick pics I got to worry about? Okay.
Dick pics, sir. Unsolicited
no.
dick pics sent to your tween daughter. And I know how I'm going to react. I'm going to want to kill the person. Like,
yeah.
You know, I tend to think in extremes, you know. You know, the guy wants me to fuck that pig, I'm going to bomb the country. I will continue to bomb things until we finally find the person to tell me to fuck that pig. A little bit of TV party tonight for you.
That's right.
And our coverage of Black Mirror season one, for those of you who don't listen to that podcast. But you know, so I have this sneaking suspicion that if my daughter gets an unsolicited dick pic, I'm burning the house down that kid lives with everyone in it.
We have had two run-ins. Man, I this is going to bring up a tiny little bit of some actual shit that's happened where we have had a couple older gentlemen impersonate teenage kids in order to befriend them on social media, my daughter included. And we found out, like, from some other source, like, hey, what are you doing talking to this guy? This dude's a 27-year-old. Dude, I mean, I'm sitting there pulling my hair out of that, and that didn't get too far. That was just, you know, hey, how you doing? And kind of innocent stuff to kind of open up the door.
Sure.
So,
but you know,
it's
he was
out
getting
there,
ready,
man.
To. You know,
yeah.
you know, he had that pick all lined up.
Real talk here. The first incident that we had, another parent actually took over her daughter's social media account, continued to talk to the guy, screenshotted everything. And yes, that is where things ended up. There was a dick pic sent. So it fucking happens. And it's going to happen at some point. So you just got to steel yourself.
I haven't met a girl who likes it. That's the thing.
Yeah.
I had yet to meet a woman who was just like, and I got this dick pic, and ooh, lordy, pants wet. That's not a conversation I overheard. The conversation I overheard was very similar to what you said. That's not real. That's angled a certain way. You know,
exactly.
I will tell you that someone close to my heart told me, and I won't reveal who. I will protect her identity and her vulnerability in this matter. But I know somebody who was not so much enthralled sexually with the unsolicited dick pic, but was curious in a scientific fashion as to what this person was working with, and then it was okay, check mark, and then
the fuck
the went away.
Did you just sport science on that phallus?
I don't know if she did anything with that phallus. We didn't get that far in the conversation, but
neither did he.
He didn't get very far either. It did not end the way that he wanted it to. I can tell you that much. The point being, it was more of a, well, if you're going to send this nonsense out, I at least want to, you know, view it from a scientific point of view. It's, hey, what is this object out there in the universe, and what is it all about? See, that's where she was coming from. And a lot of the girls that I talked to at work, very, you know, kind of similar thing. It's more of a object of, possibly ridicule, but definitely of humor. But still, at the end of the day, they're just like, I didn't want this. I don't know what you want me to do with it. But whatever it is you're thinking is going to happen isn't going to happen. And if it is going to happen, it's going to happen despite the picture. Here's the thing, Robert Cooper, and I hope you're not out there sending dick pics, because I'll come to North Carolina and throw you a beating. I will. I'll come right over
I'd love you to come visit, just not because I send the phallus, which that's not really my thing, man. I just send, poetry to get the ties rolled out.
Yeah, please don't. Robert Cooper, from all of us to all of you in this Christmas season, don't send dick pics. Please don't. Don't be an animal.
I don't even have anybody to send dick pics to.
Well, I don't think that's the problem with the dick pic mathematics, sir. Because apparently you can just send them to anybody. This isn't a matter of want. It's a matter of, do you have a receiver of any sort, apparently.
Oh, no.
There was baseball analogies when we were kids. You know, you got the first base, you got the second base. This is, you know, a dick pic is like stealing second or some shit, you know? Like, you did this without any – you skipped over a few things here, sir. What are you doing? Stop.
This is – you ran from home to second base. You don't understand how this game works.
That's not how you play this game.
But that's the thing. That's actually brilliant. But that's the thing. To end this entire rant and we can get on with the show – if a girl wants to bang you, she will do so. She will bang you. She will bang you despite or in spite of your genitalia being captured on film and sent unsolicited. To the men listening to this podcast and beyond, hear me. Hear your friend, your mandated reporter, and frankly, I'm so mortified, Mr. Mark Rattledge. Please, you don't need to do this. I am the Lorax, and I speak for the women. You don't need to send them dick pics. They will sleep with you if they want to. And the fact that you sent them a dick pic isn't going to change their mind. If you'd like to call up and disagree, if you've successfully bedded a woman who had no interest in you, because you sent them a picture of your wang, you can give us a call at 323-657-0901. I haven't given out the phone number in a dog's age.
God, remember what happened last time. Just
remember that.
those same two guys will call and be like, hey, faggot, I've bedded many a woman with my with
so
a picture
of
my wang.
When's the last time you sent a picture of your dick to children?
Boo. Robert Cooper.
I mean, that's what they're gonna do.
Yeah. Robert Cooper, welcome to the show, sir. How you doing?
Dude, so I went to Cannibal Corpse.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Let's talk about the shows we went to.
Okay, Cannibal Corpse got there actually early, and when it said it started at 7, I thought the concert started at 7. No, doors opened at 7. So standing out there, fucking, it was a little cold, not gonna lie. But yeah, the opening band, don't remember their name. They didn't even have a CD, so yeah, they were just kind of, they were good. Next band was Gate Creeper. They had that old school, like Entombed, Dismembered, like with the, you know, little chainsaw guitars, growling vocals, fucking awesome. I didn't buy anything from them, unfortunately, because, you know, merch at concerts is a little much. Because, for example, tickets were 30. I mean, 30 bucks isn't bad. 30 bucks. I bought a Power Trip shirt, who were the second band on. They were Crossover Thrash, and they were fucking awesome. Got their shirt for 20, got their CD for 15. And then Cannibal Corpse, I got their shirt for 25, which is the Code of the Flashers t-shirt. So it's pretty cool.
Did you tell them that we not only reviewed their last album, but all their album covers?
I was not able to speak to them, unfortunately. Funny thing though, there was a I got as close to the pit as I'll ever get. Actually, no, I got in the pit a little bit, not on purpose, but
because
I was
fancy.
I was on the rim of the pit, and you know the kind of the people that pushing everybody back in, all that shit.
Sure.
Yeah, I gave the rim jobs. So, yeah, I was on the rim of the pit, and I have to say, like, there was one girl in that pit that I'm like, God, marry me. And then, you know, at the end of the show, I'm like, I wonder where she's going. Oh, there's a boyfriend. All right. Yeah, short girl made her own, like, leather gauntlets, had fucking anime and heavy metal patches everywhere. I was like, damn.
She was made for you, dude.
Why can't you meet a nice girl, Rob? Rob, why can't you meet a
nice
girl?
I don't know,
girl?
Man. Well,
like a banker or a friend of mine or something.
Well, a friend of mine tried to hook me up with her friend, and I'm like, she's a little bigger than what I aim for. She goes, she's curvy. I'm like, when your stomach's bigger than your tits, you're not necessarily curvy.
Shit.
I mean, I didn't say that. I was thinking
all
it.
All class.
Oh, hey, man. Hey, I'm just being honest.
Right,
you know,
I'll
it's what's
on
that. The inside that counts, sir. But as women have often
she's
told me.
She's a real
me,
sweetheart.
As women have often told me, yes, it is on the inside that counts. But if you're not physically attracted to somebody, it's not happening.
I mean, yeah, that's pretty much the way I see it. Which, I mean, it's kind of unfortunate, though. She's a sweetheart. But, I'm just playing the field, which is going nowhere. But, hey, I'm going to go out karaoke soon. So y'all are going to about to hear me car.
If by playing the field, you mean wandering onto a baseball field that's empty at night? Sure.
I mean, yeah. I mean, somebody's going to be there. Which, by the way, so I went to a thrift store. Got a I'm a Paul Heyman guy t-shirt for $1.
Ooh.
Nice.
And, nice pickup.
Yeah. I got a $4 Star Wars shirt. That was pretty nice. And then two black dress shirts and an old grandma sweater.
I saw your grandma.
It was old grandma sweater. Oh, and it's one of those, it's almost, like, it's a little short on the arms, but it just looks so awful and cheesy that I had to have it. I mean, and it has the consistency of, like, an old blanket.
So real quick, and I do mean quick, my wife and I went to go see Clutch, The Obsessed, and the Devin Townsend Project. And, you know,
I
the
love
Obsessed.
The Obsessed.
Yeah, the Obsessed were good. I dropped $50 on two Clutch t-shirts. One was a decapitated blues shirt, which is really cool looking. And then another one, I can't remember the name of the song. But the chorus is, I'm an unapologetic lifer for rock and roll. Which is a song we've been playing a lot of. It's from Psychic Warfare.
Mm-hmm.
This particular tour, they were promoting an upcoming album, which I'm sure we'll review next year whenever it comes out. You know how that is. But they played like three songs from the forthcoming album. Sounds good. Sounds like Clutch. They played a little bit of space. They played some Spacegrass. They played Escape from the Prison Planet. That's about as far back as they went. They didn't do any Elephant Riders or anything like that. They played The Mob Goes Wild.
You've always wanted to hear, but they never play? Is that Binge and Purge or is it Rats?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
That I've heard them play Rats. Yeah, it's Benjamin.
Okay.
Which I was reading through their Wikipedia page again just because I was bored at work one day, and they said they stopped playing it at shows because it was inspiring people to kick the shit out of each other. You know, I've heard of worse reasons not to play a song. The Devin Townsend Project. Devin Townsend is awkward and weird, and the Devin Townsend Project sounds like the house band at Epcot. If there was thrash metal in Tron, that's what the Devin Townsend Project sounds like. That's not to say that I didn't like them. They were just it was very bizarre sounding.
Speaking of fights at a concert, Hatebreed was at the same venue I was at on Monday. I went on the Sunday after that. There were five fights in the pit. They made it through eight songs, and Jamie's like, "All right, we gotta quit because y'all are gonna get us banned."
Oh wow!
Nice.
Like yeah, he stopped like four times to me. Like, guys, what are y'all doing?
Damn.
Yeah, and eventually, I think I heard it was supposed to be like a 20-song set, and they did like 8.
Well,
because they were just like,
if anyone gets anything out of this podcast tonight, it's don't act like an animal, don't send girls a picture of your dick.
Yes.
And don't fight in the middle of a fucking hate breed concert. I don't care how aggressive it is.
So the Cavalera conspiracy. Cavalera conspiracy obviously comes out of the two main members of Sepultura, who are Max and Igor Cavalera. They are brothers, as I remember. Rob, correct me if I'm wrong, but Max left. Igor stayed. Max went on to form Soulfly. Igor stayed. They got Derek, and Derek and Igor continued Sepultura, which we covered them earlier this year, the new Sepultura album. And then Max and Igor reconciled whatever irreconcilable differences they had, and then they started a new band together called the Cavalera Conspiracy. And this is their fourth studio album, Psychosis. Did I get that all right?
I think so.
As I'm aware.
Okay. So what else, Robert, do you know about the Cavalera Conspiracy, if anything?
I've not really, I'll be honest, a lot of Max Cavalera's projects post-Roots from Sepultura, not been huge on. I've given Soulfly a dabble here and there, and they're all right. They're just, honestly, I feel like where Sepultura was with Chaos AD and Arise, that is the Max Cavalera I love. I'm not a huge fan of the Roots era. Like, I think the Roots era is fine, and there's a lot of good stuff in it. I just think it really took away what was Max's strong suit, which is that kind of those aggressive vocals and the fast solos. With this album, it's the first Cavalera Conspiracy album I'd listened to. And I could say it was a positive, it was definitely a positive experience towards the beginning. I loved a lot of the earlier songs. It kind of petered away towards the end, which is a preview of this review here. But yeah, I'm assuming that it's more of the thrashy version of what Max has been doing, and kind of what more, kind of like a thrashier version of Soulfly. What y'all think?
First, I don't think this sounds like Soulfly at all. I actually think this sounds like Chaos AD era Sepultura, which I liked, and it was certainly the high point of Sepultura for me. Now, I like the Roots stuff, but I've gotten a lot of the Roots era stuff in Soulfly. I feel like I know there were personal issues between Max and Igor. It was a death in the family, if I remember correctly, and I think that's initially what split them. But I'm also wondering if there were musical differences. If you look at post-Max leaving Sepultura, like the early early Derek era Sepultura versus what the early
Scared the shit out of me.
The early Soulfly stuff sounded like. Now, in later years, Soulfly loses a lot of its tribal element, to what I could tell, and I think they've kind of fallen off. I don't know where some of the creativity went with that band, but I remember not being too. I didn't think the later Soulfly stuff really stood out, and then we already talked to death about the new Sepultura, so I don't want to revisit that. But I feel like the Cavalera Conspiracy, a lot of the energy is back between the two brothers, and it takes me back to the high point of Sepultura. Jesse, are you familiar at all with Sepultura, the Cavalera brothers, Soulfly, any of this? Beyond what we've
short
done
answer,
here on the show?
Yeah, short answer's no. I don't have a whole lot of history with either Soulfly. I know Sepultura's been around forever, but again, that's not a band I listen to a whole lot of. So, it's so funny because I've listened to the album quite a few times, and then I sit down here tonight, bring up the Wikipedia on who the hell these guys are, and then I'm like, wait a second. Yeah, they've been around for... The guys that are involved in this have been around for a while, so it surprised me because I thought we were listening to, like, I knew this was their fourth album, but I didn't know that this was a band that was made up of some pretty veteran rockers here. So,
all right, so let's get into it. This is our first track of Cavalera Conspiracy Psychosis, which dropped on November 17th of this year. This is Insane. great leadoff track. Again, reminiscent of the Chaos AD era, maybe even Beneath the Remains. It's got that hard, you know, death metal blast beat tempo. The you know, the very iconic Max Cavalera vocal stylings, just all around a great song. Rob, what do you think?
Oh, was that me?
That's you, Coop.
Sorry.
You still go by Rob, right?
Oh, hush you. No, I was making sure my tie was right.
You wearing a tie to go fucking karaokeing?
I actually look really nice today.
Damn, dude.
Not even. Oh, yeah, man. I actually found a black Calvin Klein shirt for like $4. So that with a Punisher skull tie, which is white with black Punisher skull.
Oh, nice. Very nice.
Yeah, and with some white Chuck Taylors. So, cool. Yeah, there you go. Anywho, yeah, this was quite a surprise, this song was. I really didn't expect. I didn't expect really Chaos AD or a thrash, as Mark deemed it, and I agree. It was fucking balls to the wall. It was hot. I really enjoyed it. It made me really hopeful for this album.
Jesse?
Yeah, I didn't know what I was getting into, and I know when I cranked this up on Friday, started listening to it on Friday, I got three songs in, and I was like, I was really impressed. And Insane is a great kickoff to this album, just like you said. I began to like the song even more as it continues to go along. You just paused. I know you can only play so much, but the song kind of slows down just a tiny little bit. It's still pretty fast paced, but it slows down and kind of changes a little bit. And you know, I begin to like the song a lot more. And then one of the things I noticed in this first song at the end of it kind of shows that they throw in this like weird atmospheric sounds at the end or sometimes in the middle of some of these songs. So Insane had some of that towards the end as well. But it kind of gives you a taste of what you're going to be running into through the rest of this album. So I liked it. I dug Insane for sure.
All right, let's go ahead and play track number two. This is Terror Tactics. That's the breakdown. I really like that song. That might be my favorite off of here. I'm not quite sure yet. But as of right now, I don't think it gets any better than Terror Tactics. Maybe it will. But I remember giving this a listen to earlier on today. And, you know, this is the this track definitely perked my ears up and, you know, something to remember. Jesse, what do you think of Terror Tactics?
Oh, dude, it's, again, keeps up the pace of what we heard from Insane. We got some, you know, some great sound to this song. One thing I didn't notice, in about the 3 minute mark, this song completely changes to almost something different, to where at one point I thought I was, I had to go look at my phone and be like, okay, what song is this? Oh, it's the same fucking song. It's still Terror Tactics. Wait a second. So I don't know what the methodology behind that was. Clearly they were like, you know, it could have been, hey, we got this other little bit of a song we want to kind of play, so we'll just kind of throw it at the end of this. I don't know, but it's interesting how they chose to do that with Terror Tactics by bringing you. How far did we get into that song? I don't know if you saw or not, but I don't think we reached 3 minutes.
No,
but it changes.
I killed it about two and a half minutes in.
Okay. Because it started to sound like it may, yeah, just like you said, the breakdown was about to happen. But I swear it becomes something totally different for like another minute and a half, and then the song ends. But, yeah, I was still impressed. So, Coop?
Yeah, it's something I noticed when I was listening to it. There's a few songs on here that have a large tonal change in them, which isn't,
yeah,
I mean, it's not the worst thing. There are much worse things. Sometimes it can be kind of jarring. I felt like it worked in this song, even though I did the same thing as Jesse. I'm like, oh, this isn't a new song. Huh. Okay. it's kind of odd. I think that's why I was alluding more towards some of the other work, because it wasn't straight thrash like old Sepultura. Especially towards the end, their other influences start creeping in.
Yes.
All right, this is track number 3. This is Implement Execution. Guitar shredding Stein. Song's over already. Anybody?
Reference, no? Please tell me.
That's from, I want to say, Killing Is My Business by Austrian Death Machine.
Oh.
Can't remember that?
I do not.
Oh, Jesus Christ. So that's
I'm a Triple Brutal guy. It's hard for me to go back and revisit anything before Triple Brutal, even though Get to the Choppa is a classic. I still I hardly get back and revisit anything before Triple Brutal.
You don't play the
first
covers,
one was
huh?
First one had some gems.
Does it? Okay.
Get to the chopper.
Get to the chopper. If we keep this up,
I never listened to the second one, though, I admit.
Okay, that's right. We covered the third one. It was like it was the last one that I did before the Jonas Exodus.
Yeah,
the third one, if I remember correctly.
That was our wonderful, heartfelt 3-hour podcast.
Don't fucking remind me. I just did a 3-hour podcast. It felt like it went on for 3 decades. Enough of my troubles. Maybe we played one or two over the years of the covers, but that second album. See, now I got to look it up.
Double Brutal.
Maybe
that is Double Brutal.
It is Double Brutal. I'm pretty certain.
Austrian Death Machine. Funny that Google knew exactly where I was going with that. Yeah, there's Total. There's Total Brutal. Double Brutal and Triple Brutal. And then A Very Brutal Christmas and Jingle All the Way. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
In a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells.
Jingle bells.
Jingle all the way.
What's funny is you guys are doing impersonations of a guy who does an impersonation.
So it's a double album, and the first one is all the originals. The second one is the covers. So they do the T2 theme, Hellbent for Leather, Time Travel, Trapped Under T2 theme, Hellbent for Leather, Trapped Under Ice, Iron Fist, I Turned Into a Martian, Killing Is My Business and Business Is Good, which is where at the end of it, the guy just kind of goes into like a solo. It's like easy on the solo Shredenstein. Song's over already. And then they do, you know, shaving a haircut. Tactically Dangerous and Gotta Go. So lots of fun covers on that one. The Killing Is My Business one's really, really good, actually. Because Killing
I love that
is
album.
My Business. Yeah. So this one's got some great ones, though. You got I Need Your Clothes, Your Boots, and Your Motorcycle.
And motorcycle.
Let Off Some Steam, Bennett. It's simple. It's. I want to just play this one. It's simple. If it jiggles, it's fast. See you at the party, Richter. Who told you could eat my cookies? Come on, Cohagen, give these people air. Who is your daddy and what does he do? Come on, do it, come on, kill me, do it now. Allow me to break the ice. And
oh God.
Personally, one of my favorite songs on here, probably one of my favorite songs by this band, Conan, What Is Best in Life. You know, for the longest time, I was constantly telling my wife that what is best in life is to, kill all your enemies. Now I got to get the line. Conan, what
See
is
them
best
driven
in life.
Before you or something like that. I know what you're talking about. It's the Krom, which is so funny because we actually have a fucking song on this album called Krom.
Called Krom.
So to crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentations of their women. I taught that to Lily, okay?
God.
when that song came out, I kept telling her, Lily, crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and hear the what, and both her and Melissa would go, Lamentations of the Women! Melissa kept fucking it up, because like she would do the women in the wrong part, so I would like, who are we going to crush? And she would go, the women! And I'm like, yes, but only if they're your enemy. Oh, memories. I need to teach Jones. I have been derelict as a parent. I have not taught my son to crush his enemies, see them driven before you, and you hear the lamentations of their women.
Clearly, this is a legacy that will need to be passed upon your grandkids, so you need to teach your children well right now.
Yeah, I need to remind my daughter to crush her enemies, see them driven before her, and to hear the lamentations of their women. And especially if anyone sends her a fucking dick pic. Gags. I love them. Do we have any other words of encouragement here about implement execution?
Let me go here. I will say that this is my favorite song off of this album, and I wanted more of this. I don't know what makes this song stand out from the rest, but I don't know if it's because there's some groove elements to it or what's going on, but damn, I wanted more of this. And I was hoping and praying that I was like, as soon as I hit song 3, I was like, oh, this album's got some promise. But I don't think anything topped Impalement Execution, unfortunately.
Implement Execution.
There was lots of guitar shredding. I can dig it.
Did I say it's Impalement or is it Implement? It's Impalement, isn't it?
Oh, no, you're right. I'm sorry. I can't read. It's Impalement. Sorry.
I was going to say, a thousand pardons.
Sorry.
I misunderstood things.
Impalement Execution. All right. I'm glad we corrected the record on that. I wonder if you ask Alexa or whatever the Google thing is, if you ask it what is best in life, it'll tell you to crush your enemies.
I'll ask Siri right now. Before.
Could you ask Siri, please?
Siri, what is best in life?
Interesting question.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, nice.
Fuck
yeah,
you,
real
Siri.
Clutch. Good job there, MJ.
All right, this is track 4. That would have been boss, though, if it had actually said, you know, Siri, what is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and hear the limitations of their women. I don't know why she suddenly sounds like Mickey Mouse, but whatever. All right, track 4, Spectral War.
Lightning in the Aeon!
song is a bad motherfucker. That is by far my favorite song off this album. Holy shit. That beginning, wow. That's some impressive stuff. And again, it harkens back to the very best of Sepultura. They really captured a lot of the intensity of, you know, an album that's what, like 20 years old now. I think it might be even more than that. It might be almost 30 years old. Just really fantastic, fantastic stuff there, Jesse.
Oh, I agree. I think they keep me interested for sure. I don't think it's as good as Impalement Execution, but it's probably the second best song off of this album. I do want to point out the one thing that I noticed is the kind of eerie vocals his vocals are, I don't know, almost otherworldly at some time. Not his pitch or anything like that, but just the way that his vocals start. It almost sounds like he's talking from, I don't know, like out of a portal in Poltergeist. I don't know. It's scary sounding almost. But, of course, there's a song called Spectre War. That's going to be probably heavy laden with all that atmospheric stuff that's going on with his vocals. But, yeah, again, I agree with you. Great song. Coop?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those songs that was steady, menacing. Menacing. It's a good word. I use it on occasion. I really liked what was going on with it. Was this the longest song in the album? No. I think it was, there's another one that's like 6 minutes long. But I feel like it was among the longer songs in the album. And they really make it work, which is surprising. Usually, bands like this going over 4 minutes is usually a problem. So good job by them.
All right. Let's keep it moving here. Keep Crom. Crush your enemies. See them driven before you and hear the lamentations of the women. This is track 5, Crom. Shreddenstein there. Jesse, your thoughts, sir, on Crom?
I think it's a decent song. There's a part at the end where it kind of, I don't want to say trails off, but it just becomes like a spoken word. I don't know much about Crom, but wasn't it like a religion, or wasn't he like a god See, I don't watch. I haven't watched Conan, so forgive me, ladies and gentlemen. I really don't know much about Crom other than that's my inkling. So tell me, am I correct? Is that what it is? Like some type of religion or something? Thank you. All right. So moving on. I didn't do my internet research, which I should have. But I can just tell you this much. It sounds like at the end, he's like either reciting from some type of text, like a Bible or something. It's just weird. It could be just a poem. I have no idea. But it's definitely not him singing, which kind of took this song kind of fell down a notch for me just because of the way it ended. Coop?
With the opening, I'm trying to place it, but it sounded very much like an old school death riff with the dun, 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 and then the screaming, which is more or less very similar to it. It's one of the riffs off the first three albums, and I just can't place it. Oh, it's going to be eating at me all night. But yeah, like overall, I didn't really hear that until I was just listening to it now, but I thought it was a solid song. Yeah, the spoken word section, I'm assuming, must be something from Conan. So, yeah, I mean, it was solid. It went kind of long, but it was all right.
Yeah, I mean, I like the intensity of it. But, I mean, I hear what you guys are saying. It's the least interesting of the bunch up to this point. We'll see where the rest of it goes. But definitely, again, the intensity is there. The thrash is there. But that's kind of all it's got going for it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
All right. This is track 6. This is Hellfire. Song gets a little silly for me. I don't know. What do you think, Jesse? I mean, to me, it's a lot of noise. It's a lot of. I think, you know, we were talking about the Punisher trailer for, you know, when they used one, you know, and they have the drums and the gunshots all going on at the same time, and that was a really cool effect. And I feel like they were trying to go for something similar here, but didn't do it nearly as well.
I don't mind this song. It's not horrible. It's definitely, I think, where Coop saw the kind of, I want to say, like a different influence starting to creep in. I wrote down in my notes, and this is what I love about the Metal Hammer of Doom. I've learned a lot from you guys. So, you know, specifically being able to identify certain genres of music when I hear them now. So in my notes, I put down that this song definitely had like this industrial feel to it. And I hopped onto I'm on Loudwire.com, and it turns out for this song, industrial music legend Justin Broadrick of, according to this, Godflesh and Jesu, guest on this song. So they've let him come in, and clearly it's got his fingerprints all over it. What do you think, Coop?
Yeah, that's where I was definitely going with. I felt like, especially with this song, and it starts creeping in the other parts of the album too as we keep going. I felt like it was almost a wholly different album in some ways. This song felt kind of odd. Like, it's got that real industrial vibe to it. And I'm not a huge industrial fan. I know that's more Mark's Warehouse. But, I mean, this song was just, it was there. It's not one I would, if I listen to this album again, I'd be like, I could skip it.
Yeah, I kind of, you know, like, I like the idea of it. I just thought the execution was kind of meh. And again, you're right. Industrial is my thing. I typically enjoy industrial, but this felt a little try hard for me. You know what I mean? This felt like that you're trying to do an industrial song, and that's the thing, is I've heard Max Cavalera over the years has definitely gotten involved with some other bands and done some really interesting things, and some of that has been working with industrial bands, and there's just better stuff out there. Shit, there's better Sepultura out there that has been like remixed and like made into sort of a pseudo industrial track. This one just didn't do it for me.
Yeah, I was just going to add to that. You said it gets a little silly. This is another one of those songs that morphs into something else. Right before you cut it off, they started getting into, you know, something that felt like nothing like the beginning of the song. And it didn't help the song much at all for them to do that. So, yeah, it's a weird one.
That's a paddling. All right. This is track 7. This is Judas Pariah. Cannibal Corpse on that one. just blasting out those drum beats. You know, not bad. Not my favorite, but not bad. Rob, what do you think?
It was a more intense song. Felt like it was kind of a recovery to more of a sound that was more like the original, I'd say like the original few tracks of this album. It was a good song. I enjoyed it.
My initial reaction was like, this is just a bunch of noise at the beginning of this song. I mean, it felt cluttered.
Turn that racket down.
But in an epic Cavalera conspiracy form, it all of a sudden becomes a slow plodding march, like right near the end. They just switch things up. Imagine being like at a concert And I don't know how well this would go. I mean, the people were going nuts in the mosh pit. And if you know the songs well, you're ready for it to change. Because you can't, I'm sure you could if you wanted to, keep up that intensity that you're, however you're, whatever you're doing in the mosh pit. But all of a sudden, the thing's just, the tone of the song really changes and slows down and becomes this crazy, like, something totally different from what we were hearing at the beginning. And I said at the beginning of that first song, as it went on with Insane, I began to like it. This is another example of that happening here where I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I can make it through. Is this all the song's going to be? And then all of a sudden it's like, nope, here's some better shit. Same song. Boom. And I'm like, okay, now I can dig it. And then we fade out and we hit the next one. So, I mean, it's one of those where this album is called Psychosis. And I kind of get that vibe from some of the songs that are presented to us on the album. It's one thing, but then all of a sudden it's something else. So it's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, you know, for the kind of, you know, thrash metal, death metal amalgamation of music that this is, I think there are some interesting things going on. But, you know, interesting by itself is not a virtue. It still has to be good.
Yeah.
And so I think there are some definitely some interesting and memorable things on here. Not all of them tickle my fancy.
I feel you.
That fair to say?
Here, here.
This is our title track. This is Psychosis, and this, I believe, is instrumental. Just go right to the track 9 here. Our last track of the night. This is Excruciating.
Go round and round.
You know, I don't think there's a more cliched modern rock motif or phrase or lyric than only death is real.
It's so funny because that is the exact same thought that went through my head when I first heard this song. I was like, man, how many times has that phrase been used in metal lyrics? I mean,
too many.
Come on. Too, yeah.
Love is real.
Hey, Woods of Ypres made it work, damn it.
I'll agree with that. I will agree for sure.
I believe that love is real, and I think that hate is real. So I would fundamentally disagree with the premise that only death is real, and I take issue with this song.
Sure.
And once again, we've reached that part of the show where Jesse has just about had enough of my shenanigans.
You cut it out, you.
Hey, asshole. Talk metal or shut up. All right, I'm going to go ahead and give this an A-. I thought it was, for the most part, we talk a lot of times on this show about how we talked about it with Punisher. We talked about it with a lot of bands and a lot of albums, how the fundamental flaw in a lot of media that we cover on the Rattlesnake Broadcasting Network is the lack of editing. It's just things go on way longer than is necessary to make the point. And what I like about this album is that at 9 songs, and not like 9 Cradle of Filth songs that go on for 15 minutes apiece, but like normal length songs, this is short, sweet, to the point. I don't get bored with it. It's short enough that it kept my attention. It didn't get samey necessarily. I mean, as Jesse pointed out numerous times throughout this show, they change just when you think a song is going a certain way, they change it up. Just when you think you have all the answers, they change the questions. So I think that earns them a lot of credit. Even if not every song was a zinger, they get a lot of credit from me for, I'll use the word again, editing. You know, there was the proper amount of editing in this song just to keep it nimble and interesting. Robert, your final thoughts, sir?
Oh, yeah. This album was a surprise to me. I didn't expect to like it as much as I did. With that being said, I give it probably about, give it like a 3.5 stars there, you know. There were moments in this where I was really kind of disappointed in the fact that they didn't really stick with the motif. Like, granted, that would have made it a little more samey, but on that merit, there were some, the instrumental was weird. This last song towards the end, I was like, what? That got kind of weird. Crom, yeah. I really feel the back half of it was really more the problem, but if that's where you're going to put your more experimental stuff, that's fine. Overall, yeah, pretty solid, good album. And can I go ahead and give my plugs? Because I'm going to go sing.
Yeah, please, go ahead.
All right. So, yeah, this podcast, I'm on it, Sentai Rider Podcast, facebook.com/Sentai Rider Podcast, says SENTAIRIDR Podcast, W2MNet.com, my buddy Sean Garmer's website. I write for it on occasion. Probably going to be doing some New Japan features sometime soon. And finally, scrapingthebottom.com, my buddy Kevin, it's his shit. I was on an episode. There was a dumpster fire that existed. Now, I'm going to go sing. I'm going to go sing some stuff with a bunch of girls that are taken. So, all right. I'll catch you bitches next week for... I'll catch Jesse next week for Nail Boy Viscara, since Mark is she can't be bothered.
I have a friend in town, and I'm going to see Star Wars, and that is all that matters.
I drank 2 bottles of wine and some cooking sherry. It's from a...
That's a reference. I know it somewhat.
It's a reference to the College Humor Batman videos, the one where they had the wrong clown.
Maybe not.
Okay. Well, let me just say my parting words to you, sir, as you go out and trip the light fantastic. If you meet a nice girl, please don't send her a picture of your dick. You will disappoint me, and I may have to replace you on this show. It will not.
I've never done that. I've not done it in 26 years. I think I'm good.
Okay, I'm just letting you know what the consequences of sending dick pics are. You will be banned from the Rattlesnake Broadcasting Network, and that would make me sad. Don't disappoint me,
no,
Robert. You're our only hope.
I don't want to. Exactly. Thank you, boss. All right, fellas.
Later.
Next time.
See ya.
Peace.
Indeed. Jesse, your final thoughts, sir.
Oh, yes. I okay. For my first. Go ahead and hit the end there. Coop. Hang it up.
There yeah, we're
go.
Done there.
Right. anyway, yeah, for my first experience with Cavalera Conspiracy, man, I was really kind of thrilled to jump into this and listen to it. You guys covered a lot of the stuff that I would echo, which is this did not get samey. This was something that I could listen to over and over at work and not be like, okay, I'm kind of bored. But again, there are songs on there that just kind of the atmosphere that they're setting up is it's interesting and can sometimes get just a little overbearing. I have my real-time thoughts on the last song that we just listened to, which is excruciating because at about 2 minutes and 30 seconds left, somebody called this their epic 6 minutes track. Well, I'm sorry, but 2 minutes and 30 seconds of this was some girl chanting and some kind of weird atmospheric stuff going on. And then all of a sudden, like the radio station changes and we hear some guy give some kind of commentary about their band. And then next thing you know, boom, we're back to women chanting again. I don't call that a great songwriting, in my opinion, but they're obviously doing something that they're having a fun time doing. So whatever, that's fine with me. And the other thing is that there is a real, if you look into it, there seems to be a real structure to the way these songs are placed on this album. You can see all the heavy stuff is kind of right at the beginning. And then as you progress, the genre bending stuff kind of pops in there. That instrumental track, if you listen to that all the way through, it's probably one of the lightest songs on this album. There's not really much heavy metal to that at all. It's laid back as hell. So all in all, I mean, I'm going to give it a thumbs up because it was a fun experience. I'm glad I had the opportunity to listen to it. I'll listen to Impalement Execution any time of the day. If I had a best of list, which I really do need to go back and create, that's going on there. I really did like that song. So, yeah, you know, ladies and gentlemen, give this album a shot. There's probably something on here you're going to like.
All right. Next week, as Robert said, I will – if you turned in this week and were just like, please stop talking about your personal life. Stop talking about dick pics. Oh, my God, Rattling, shut the fuck up. Well, then you'll be in luck because next week I'm not going to be on the show. It's Ne Oblis Oblivus. You scare that Metaconia.
Sure.
the album is called Urn. So Jesse and Rob are going to take that one by itself. But I will be back for Star Wars week. It's all Star Wars week all the time. Between December 18th and December 22nd, right here in the Metal Hammer of Doom, our contribution to Star Wars week is Galactic Empire, which, by the way, I'm going to go ahead and tell you right now, you need to get on Spotify, Jesse, and look up the Evil Genius Orchestra. They have a cocktail tribute to Star Wars. You're going to open up our Princess Leia podcast with the Evil Genius Orchestra's cover of the main theme and then end it with Princess Leia's theme.
All
just
right.
Go ahead and do that for me.
Well,
I was going to make you end with the Trotter Trio, but I figured, you know what? Let's be consistent. Let's keep with the Evil Genius Orchestra. You ever hear the Evil Genius Orchestra?
Never have.
Okay. Well, the original album is called Cocktails in the Cantina, but that's not what it's known as on Spotify. So,
is it lounge music? Like Star Wars lounge music or something?
It is.
Oh, I cannot wait. I can't wait to give that a shot.
Yeah, that was big for a while. Cocktails in the Cantina was the hot shit for a little while. And a little bit of trivia on that. On the cover of the original Cocktails in the Cantina is Jasmine St. Clair. You know, remember Jasmine St. Clair?
She sounds familiar. She's not a porn actress, is she?
Oh, sir, she very much is a porn actress. Or was a porn actress.
I recognize that name somehow. Oh, my goodness.
Yep, she's on the cover there of Cocktails in the Cantina. Not nude, not naked at all, but wearing a little, you know, little Princess Leia slave girl outfit, if I remember correctly.
Goodness.
Here, let's go ahead and give ourselves a little Google.
I'm doing it right now. I mean, I can't stop the Googling.
You can't knock the hustle. Cocktails in the Cantina. Let's hit the Google Images. And there she blows. Literally. So,
no, no. my goodness.
Yeah, she's got a little genie action going on. So that's Jasmine St. Clair. I think she was at one point dating the Blue Meanie. She's a famous porn actress. Well, the band on this Cocktails in the Cantina is the Evil Genius Orchestra. So I want you to use that for the intro and outro of our this podcast, which will be for Star Wars week. So, okay, I got off a little tangent there. You know, what's a Rattlegion Broadcasting podcast without a little scheduling? A little inside baseball. Anyway, so we've got Rob takes over the show next week. We're back for Galactic Empire. And then the hits just keep on coming. We've got the year-end special on December 27th. I'm going to play four songs that we couldn't get from bands we couldn't get to this year. Robert Cooper is going to do the same. Yes, he'll give
and
you
I
two.
I might just do the same. I might fall in line with you boys here. I've been thinking about it, so expect the unexpected, most likely.
And then we kick off the new year right with Morbid Angel. Morbid Angel's actually dropping an album here in December. We are not taking a week off, ladies and gentlemen. We hit the ground running in January 2018 with Metal Hammer of Doom's review of Morbid Angel's new album, Kingdoms Disdained, which will have dropped sometime this month. So we got that one. We got Asking Alexandria. We got the new Corrosion of Conformity, Avatar, and Machine Head coming at you in January. You excited, Jesse Starch? You excited for the new year?
You damn right. 2018 is going to it's going to keep your head banging.
We don't stop, man. I mean, we typically take the first week off of everything. No, not this year, man. We got a TV party and a Metal Hammer of Doom coming right at you, January 2nd, January 3rd, and then you know we're right into the shit, January 8th, 9th, and 10th with 300, and Asking Alexandria, and it just keeps on going.
I hope our audience appreciates us. Let us know how much you love us. Send us something.
Don't send us dick pics.
No. I love you.
I expressly told a woman that I work with, do not show me the dick pic that she was sent. And she put it in my eyes.
Don't show me.
She showed me a dick pic. Jesse Starcher. This guy sent her a picture of him standing buck naked, sir, in the shower. I almost called human resources. I was like, I've been sexually harassed. Jesse Starchick, do your plugs.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, go give that Rattlegion in Broadcasting Network Facebook page a like to stay up on top of all the great podcasts that we have to offer. Usually we throw our current podcasts over there when we can. We're right here at home on the blogtalkradio.com. That's blogtalkradio.com. Just go search Rattlegion. You can find us in there. Subscribe. You can look at all the archives. We got plenty of stuff on there. We've got wrestling. We have MMA. We have video games. We talk about comic books. That's my show, Source Material. Usually just about every Monday, we are up to over 140 episodes. And if there is something that you've read in the past from Marvel, DC, Image, some independent comic book. We might have it on there. And if you want to hear two guys, sometimes if you catch them early episodes, it was just me. Me talking to myself. That's right. But you could check out our discussion of some books, some very popular books, some that aren't so popular. We had a great one we just spoke about here recently, which was Punisher, Welcome Back, Frank. It came out in 2000. Probably one of my favorite episodes that we've done this year. So I would highly recommend go check it out. We're on iTunes. We're on Stitcher. We're also on Spreaker. I mean, we're all over the place. So just search Radulich and subscribe, R-A-D-U-L-I-C-H. You can follow me at Stiznarchy on Twitter if you do so wish. I am done, and I'm ready to go to bed. Let's get out of here, Mark.
Manucci got the ill communication. Manucci got the ill communication. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been a small slice of heaven as usual. For the Metal Coop, Robert Cooper, crooning Metal Coop, Robert Cooper, for the disapproving dad and the host of Source Material in his own right, Miss Jess Starcher, I'm your mandated reporter, and frankly, I'm mortified. And please, please, ladies and gentlemen, be well, be safe, behave. And when I say behave, I mean stop sending dick pics for the love of Christ.